And then I'll have to profess, I never knew you, depart from me. You see, it's one thing to have religion, but it's another thing to have full truth. And with full truth, you get full action and a demonstration and the power of God. So I don't want to go through tradition. I don't want to go through routine. I want to have truth secured in my life so that when I really need something from God, especially when I pass from this life to the next, I got the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of course, is water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So these are principles God is established, and they're never going to change. This is 40 years after the day of Pentecost, and we have Paul still teaching these principles to a church. Then if you'll turn to Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 13. It says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, we're talking about Saul or Paul, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. So a man laid hands on him and he was baptized and received his sight. And then Acts, the 8th chapter, verse number 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And laid they their hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Acts chapter 6, verse number 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. By the laying on of hands, there was revival, and even the priests who didn't have truth now came to truth. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning. God, you have truly blessed us. We felt your presence. We're grateful for it. We ask your anointing upon your word, Lord, that it would go forth unhindered, that it would touch the very fibers of our soul. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Over the last several weeks, I've had a number of men gather around me and lay hands on me because of a back problem that I've had. And even last Sunday morning and even this Sunday morning, I've had men gather around and pray for me, knowing that I've been struggling with some problems with my back. And they prayed for a healing. There is a real comfort that takes place by the laying on of hands. They have proven that when nurses or doctors will lay hands on people who are sick within the hospital, there's a faster recovery. In fact, their heart rate goes up, their blood count goes up. It isn't something that they do medically. They simply lay hands on people and they do better. We do better when people touch us. But I don't think that we realize or have an understanding of the significance of what we're doing when we're laying hands on people. Power and spirit are transformed through our hands to those that we lay hands upon. It's not just a ritual that we do. The whole world is starving for the touch of God. What they're buying into is emptiness. They're trying to take care of a void that is within them that can't be satisfied with anything else but the touch of God. In fact, saints can't be satisfied with anything but the touch of God. We saw that here this morning. People crave the presence of God and a touch in their life. Even if they're going through difficult times, if they're feeling the hands of God or the presence of God, I can go through that. I know God knows what I'm going through. They desperately in the world want to feel God, not only in times of trouble and tragedy, but a touch of reassurance on a regular basis. The problem is God has no physical hands in this world except these. His body is here. He left his physical body and went to heaven, but he left us, the church, the body of Christ, in order to do that which he did all through his ministry. If there is one thing the church should have going for it, it is that we are a hands-on people. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember back in the 70s, I had taught a Bible study to a loan officer in the bank that I was working, and she came into the Bible study, was filled with the Holy Ghost during the offering in the first service that she was in. Baptized her in Jesus' name, and so I had this first convert that was at work with me, you know. There's probably 40 people within the office. I remember being on break, and way back then, I had a back problem. And some things just don't change, I guess. And so he's telling her, oh, you know, I'm really having a problem with my back. And here's a new convert, only in this truth for about 2 weeks, and she said, well, let me pray for you right now. And she just laid her hands on my back, and instantly the pain went away. Now, I'm thinking, here the student is teaching the teacher, you see, because she recognized that there is a power in laying on of hands. No one taught her a lesson like this, but she instinctively knew through the Holy Ghost that there's something special about it. The problem is God has no one else except the church who has full truth in order to do that which is necessary. And we are a hands-on people. Many times we minister more through a touch than we do with words. A compassionate touch can never be misinterpreted, you see, or underestimated. I came to church this morning expecting that somewhere during the service I was going to physically feel the touch of God. You know, I can laugh at jokes that aren't funny, but I can't, on demand, cause tears to stream down my face. There's something that is so genuine about being touched by God. There's a sincerity to it. You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it wasn't something trumped up by the music. It wasn't something that the preacher had to instill in us, but we know when we're in the presence of God. It is that reassurance that everyone is going to be okay. According to God's word, our hands are very important members of our body. Nothing transmits our feelings towards other people like our hands. There are numerous scriptures that relate to our hands and their spiritual significance in our life. Also, the work of God among men is called the work of the hand of the Lord. We have all felt the hand of the Lord upon us at various times, and I especially am impressed when I'm not in church and feel the presence of God. You know, it's not something that is only correlated with coming to church. We have all felt that. We have also experienced the invisible hand of God protecting us in times where we couldn't have protected ourselves. Some of us have been in accidents. We know it was the hand of God that kept us alive. I have prayed instinctively for years in the congregation, God, let your hand be with your people. Why the hand of God? Because there is nothing so personal, there is nothing so comforting or strong, or as when someone puts their hand upon you. Psalms 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, we've all gone through those stages as parents who've had children who are just starting to walk, and when they fall down, we reach down in order to pick them up. You need to get that vision of God always reaching down to help pick us up. Psalms 104 and 28 says, thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. If we can get God to open up his hand to us, hallelujah. Our immediate response in meeting somebody is to extend our hand to them. Our God's immediate response to us is to extend his hand to us. Jeremiah 1 and 9 says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Remember when God's hand touched your mouth? And suddenly you felt the anointing of God's word? Sometimes there are things that go through my mind. I know they're not mine, but somehow God has touched me and allowed me to have wisdom that I didn't come up with myself. And of course, all of us felt the hand of God touch us and to touch our mouth when we were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in a heavenly language. That's not us. That's the hand of God. Glory to God. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the 11th chapter, please. Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, it's wonderful to hone your skills in knowing the Bible and being able to witness to people, but when the hand of the Lord touches, then there's addition to the church. We can't do it on our own, folks. Glory to God. Brother Poplowski taught the men on Thursday night, talked about how our Cornelius prayed for 4 days because he wanted God's hand on him and his family, and then God sent angels in order to minister to him, and then ultimately somebody to bring him truth, you see. We need God. Luke chapter 1. And verse number 66, it says, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So the hand of the Lord was on that baby that was born, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It was the Spirit of God that touched. If we want revival, we need the hand of the Lord on us. Lord, in this church. This is not a franchise. We just do the same thing that the church down the road does, and we get the same results. You know, each and every one of us are different, and our approach to God is to get into his presence so he can anoint and touch and bless, and then revival comes. Revival doesn't come because of programs or something we've decided we wanted to do. When we're doing what God wants us to do, God will add to the church. There will be visitors. There will be people filled with the Holy Ghost and song services because God's already arranged it long before we ever got here. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Would you turn to John, the 10th chapter? John 10, verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the church is always in the hand of God. He's protecting us. He stations angels around us, ministering spirits unto those who inherit eternal life, according to Hebrews, the 1st chapter. I thought this morning as God was ministering to people years ago, a brother Tom Gruling put on a set of huge angel's wings, and then during the entire preaching of the word, he followed me no matter where I went, you know, and I was impervious to him following me. That's the way it is with each and every one of us. God has stationed an angel around each of us. We are in the hand of God. There's no safer place to be, folks. Hallelujah. When I was a kid, I would sing this song, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got every little thing in his hands, folks." Amen. Everybody is in his hands. If only the world knew how fragile everything on the earth is without the hand of God. Amen. Take God out of the equation. We're in big trouble, folks. Even the sinner is in big trouble, folks. Would you turn to 2 Thessalonians? Chapter 2. I want to demonstrate here how important the church is to this entire world. You know, some say we have global warming, and you couldn't prove that by last week to me. Some say the ozone's gone and we're in trouble. But you know what? I know God's in charge. I don't worry about those things. And when God comes back, which could be tomorrow, he's going to set up his kingdom here for 1,000 years, so the ozone layer can't be too bad. I don't think God's worried about it, folks. So there's no sense in us worrying about everything. If you're in the hand of God, don't worry about it. But 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and starting in verse number 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So a lot of people are wondering, when is the Antichrist coming? And when is he going to be revealed? Who is it going to be? Is he alive today or not? It doesn't matter to me. I know there'll be a falling away, and there are some who fall away. Verse 4 says, "Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." We're talking about the Antichrist. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth or holds down that he might be revealed in his time." Now, what's preventing the Antichrist from being exposed on the earth? That was the question then. That's the question today. Verse number 4. Now, you have to understand, we have a translation from the original language into the King James Version. I believe it's the best version or translation that you can get. However, there are people who didn't know the whole truth that translated it. Now, verse number 7 says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he." Now, that word "he" should have been interpreted, if you go to the original, "they." "Only they who now letteth will let or hinder until they be taken out of the way." So in other words, the only reason that the Antichrist has not been revealed is because the church is still here. He stops him from being revealed. We stop evil in this world, folks, just because we are here, just because we are Christians, just because we are in the hand of God. "And then shall that wicked be revealed after the rapture of the church, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Who will he deceive? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we find that the position of the church is not only to help save those who are lost, but to keep evil from this world being run rampant in this place. I looked at the paper on New Year's Day, and it said that there were 40,000 new laws put on the books this year alone. 40,000. Now, does that help the crime rate? Laws aren't going to make it, folks. It's a changing of people, you see. Hallelujah. Taking responsibility, and that's what the church does. We are disciples. We're taking responsibility to the Word of God. Parents need to take responsibility for their children, not give it to somebody else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The right hand of God is a place of favor and authority and power with God. Would you turn to Psalm 16? A lot of scripture this morning. Psalm 16, verse number 11, says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." What we experience here this morning in song service will cause us to be in the fullness of joy. You may not understand it. If you're a visitor, you may not understand what happened here, but you're changed. Something has happened to you. What's going to happen is tomorrow you wake up in the middle of the night thinking, "Wow, that was strange. I don't know if that was God, but I liked it. I don't know if it'll happen to you, but that's what happened to me. I didn't have the understanding or the knowledge, but I knew one thing, that was God." Hallelujah. Psalms 138. Verse number 7. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." That's God. That's God. His hand, his power, his authority. Now, the Word of God shows us that there is a transfer of God's power in the laying of the hands, but this transfer of God's strength, power, and presence is not done by the will of man. It must fully line up with God's Word and God's will. So just because we know about the gifts of the Spirit doesn't mean that we can demand this is going to happen. It has to be God's will and according to God's word. There are several areas where the laying on of hands are used in the Bible. A tremendous impact can be made in the life of an individual as the ministry and the saints lay hands on someone for the blessings of God. This is especially true with our family and our children, and I think that's underestimated too much, that we need to lay hands on our children and bless them. We need to convey the blessings of God to our children often by placing our hands on them and praying for them. Don't let the Sunday school teacher take your place. Don't let the children's church teacher take your place. Somehow, it's imperative that somehow you transfer a blessing to your children by your hands. It works. Are they having problems in school? Lay hands on them and pray. Are they fearful of a test? Lay hands on them and pray. Jesus laid his hands on little children in order to bless them. Turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, for bid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." So Jesus wanted them to bring the little children unto him because he wanted to bless him. Hallelujah. He said, come to me this morning because I want to bless you. I love to see families pray together. There's nothing that pleases God more than seeing entire family. Don't ever get to the place where you think your kids are just too old to come up and pray at the altar with you. Or see the little children up at the altar praying for each other. It's just an awesome sight. Something that affected me a long time ago when we were in Nigeria, I was preaching a Bible school dedication and graduation, and there must have been about 400 people in that service. And after the service, not one person left without having me pray for them, and they would bring their children, carrying them in their arms. And as I reached out to pray for them, the kids would lean in to get the blessing of God. Amen. Somehow we got to transfer that. Amen. We have to teach them that. So many times I want to pray for a little child and they squirm away because they don't want that. Parents, you got to teach your kids. This is a blessing. You need the touch of God. You don't need to be afraid of that bully at school because we've laid hands on you. Amen. Hallelujah. I love to see our teenagers banding together in a group and praying together. Somehow there is a transfer of God's love and power in the touch of each and every one of their hands. Do they have a license? No, but they've got the Holy Ghost. We can't miss an opportunity to bless somebody as God leads us by a meaningful touch. Men with men, women with women. I'm careful when I pray for a lady. I grab her by the hand or put my hand on her head because I don't want there to be any interpretation of anything else. We have to be wise. They say that you can extend your wife's life by 2 years by giving her 7 meaningful touches a day. How many want your wife to live longer? Come on. There's, well, 2 guys. Fantastic. And I want to emphasize the meaningful touch. Well, you say, I've been married for 20 years. She knows. Hey, do you still want God's touch in your life even though you've been saved for 30 years? Now, you may think you're a teenager or too old to be hugged. But they're not. In fact, they probably need your hug more than the little kid. After service, many times I've had my granddaughter, who's almost as tall as me now, just stand next to me like this. She won't say, hey, give me a hug, but she's saying, give me a hug. And I'll wrap my arms around her. Why? Because she knows that it's needful in her life. Hebrews 11 and 20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And our children need to hear about the blessed future from our lips. You know what? You're going to do well. Something about your spirit. I love about your spirit. I love your enthusiasm. I like that you work hard, you see. And those things will stand out. Another area where the Bible talks about laying on of hands is when someone is put in a leadership position. And so we transfer or we lay hands on them. Those that have been licensed through our Wisconsin District Board, all of the presbyters and superintendent lay hands on them as a transfer. Take your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse number 9, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And then Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27, verse number 15. It says, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. It's imperative that we submit ourselves to the leadership of God, because that is the hand of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua and the son of Nun, and a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hands upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all of the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all of the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So what we do within the church of the living God is there is a portion of spirit or honor that is given to certain people in order to minister within the congregation. If you'll go to Numbers, the 11th chapter, and verse number 16, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them onto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, that they bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And so what God has done is given certain ministries within the church and put a portion of the spirit that is on the pastor on others within the congregation, and I see that happen. Have you ever seen me break down in the spirit behind this altar, except for once every Sunday? And you see that same thing within other people who minister in this pulpit. I saw it Thursday night, as Brother Popolsky was ministering. Many times he just broke down. He couldn't continue. Because the same spirit that is on the pastor is transformed to other people within the congregation in order to minister, and we recognize that, you see. It's not built on one man. It's built on a congregation of people who believe exactly the same thing. Paul and Barnabas were sent forth by the laying on of hands. And even those who wait on tables, according to Acts, the 6th chapter, Stephen, who had insight to God like perhaps no other man, all he did was wait on tables, and there was a power and a presence of God. He was the first martyr. He saw Jesus in the clouds as he was dying. Hallelujah. By the laying on of hands. Had the blessings of God transferred to them by the laying on of hands. And we also see that the scriptures show us that people receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Glory to God. Sister Bogner, where are you? She's back there. And I said on Watch Night service, we are starting a department for altar workers, and we're trying to set up a time where we want to train people in order to be altar workers, to help people as midwives, if you will, receive the Holy Ghost. And there are proper ways of doing it. Laying on of hands is a part of that. And there was laying on of hands this morning as Cheryl was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's all a part of it. We also see the scripture now that people, it's everybody who has the Holy Ghost, has the authority of laying on of hands. But many in the scriptures, as well as the church, have received the Holy Ghost when someone reached down, touched them by laying on of hands. If you go to Acts, the 9th chapter, verse number 17, We just read that. Let's also go to Acts, the 19th chapter. Verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, or people who had been following Christ. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I walked into a spirit-filled church after going to parochial school all my childhood, and someone said, have you received the Holy Ghost? And I said, what are you talking about? Because most people don't understand that there is a process, there is an experience of God. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So the question was, if you don't know about the Holy Ghost, then you probably don't know that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, what was that? Except the Lord is your Savior. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they were rebaptized. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So there has to be information given to people, but there has to be a personal contact with people. You can get the Holy Ghost without having somebody lay hands on it, but it sure makes it a lot easier to be in a maternity ward with somebody who's going to help you. What about healing by laying on of hands? No person has the power of healing people, but we become a channel of God's healing through the laying on of hands. So if you'll turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or have power over Satan. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall, what? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Verse 20 says, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. And then if you'll go to James, the 5th chapter. James chapter 5 and verse number 14. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. Glory to God. So, they shall anoint him. They shall lay hands on him. We can invoke the privilege in and out of the church. The purpose is that people will be healed and the glory would be given to God and not us. If the motive is to draw attention to ourselves, then God will be far from us. But if the motive is signs following the truth, glory to God. And I've heard people say, how many times? How do you know that you have the truth? Well, we've got the signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do you have the signs? That's not being persnickety. It's not being prideful. It's just that we've got the signs. We've got the gifts of the Spirit operating. We have the fruit of the Spirit within the church. It changes us. It protects us. Amen. Glory to God. Acts, the 8th chapter. Verse number 18. If you'll look at verse 17, it says, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. So we find that here's a man who was a sorcerer, and he saw what had happened by the laying on of hands. There was a power that was transmitted from saints to somebody who needed the Holy Ghost, and he wanted that. And of course, what he saw and what he experienced was somebody getting the Holy Ghost, and he wanted to put that in his arsenal of tricks. We don't have an arsenal of tricks. We just got the real thing, the real deal, God. Hallelujah. A good rule to follow in laying on of hands is be careful, be gentle, and always be biblical. Amen. We are working with one of the six foundational principles that we read about in the book of Hebrews. Remember, never handle a person roughly. Rough handling doesn't bring more power of God. You know, just doesn't do it. Can't imagine Jesus doing anything like that. It just brings attention to you. And we got to be careful, because we got this power, that we don't somehow take the glory or get the attention. I love demonstrative worship, but whenever it gets to the place where we're attracted to somebody who is worshiping rather than the one we're worshiping himself, well, that's a distraction, you see. So we don't need some person that specializes within this congregation in order to get someone filled with the Holy Ghost or someone healed. You know what? This is a body. It's a body that's jointly fit together. We as a body work together. Glory to God. Ladies, pray with ladies. Men, pray with men. Not making provisions for the flesh. When praying with an unbeliever, you may need to explain in a soft voice what we're doing. And don't think that they're so lost in the spirit that they're not cognizant of what you're saying. They need to understand why we're doing what we're doing. It's scriptural. What a privilege it is for God to work through our hands. That God would work through us, which actually becomes his hands when we're ministering. We have this privilege to touch people who are hurt, people who are lonely, people who are waiting for a touch for God, people who don't even understand there's a God that loves them and cares for them, but through our hands, through our ministry, they can realize the love of God. We are the only hands that God has in this world, and we are to reach out to others with that kind of compassion and love that God has for each and every one of us. You will find that God will reach out to you and touch you with his compassion when you have compassion for somebody else. And when we pray for somebody to get the Holy Ghost, I know many of us have been there, it's like you get the Holy Ghost all over again. It's this awesome feeling of God surging through you. Hallelujah. We're all in the ministry, folks. Glory to God. And we need to take advantage of all of what God has allowed us to have to minister to others that are around us. I believe that when you walk into a church on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I think one of the things that needs to pass through your mind is, who can I minister to? I noticed that Sister, what's her name, has been down. Somebody ought to go lay hands on her and minister. I noticed he hasn't been around for a while. You ought to go lay hands on them and pray. I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. Because that's the job of the entire church. It's not just the pastor. It's not just ministers within this church. Glory to God. It's when visitors come into this congregation, perhaps not prepared for this kind of service at all, we need all of us to have the responsibility to go to them and lay hands on them. How do you do that? Like this. Amen. You shake their hand. You say, thank you for being here. Because that's also transmitting the love of God to them. Amen. Glory to God. We have a responsibility when we come in here. I don't care what kind of day that you've had, in order to lay hands on God and worship God. Because in doing so, when all of us are worshiping God at the same time, there's a power and a presence of God that comes down and touches all flesh that is in this congregation. It is our responsibility. We can't just simply say, this isn't my day, I'm just not going to. We have a responsibility to those that are around us. We are our brother's keeper. Hallelujah. And I thank God for these times when men have gathered around me, even this morning, and prayed for me. They feel a love and a compassion for me. I would hope that we all have that feeling of love and compassion. Whether you're in a bad place or not, just knowing somebody there loves me. Had a lousy week, I got to get to church because there's somebody there who loves me, who will minister to me. That's what the body is all about. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.